This is based on research that has been conducted between 2014 and 16, but the driver for this really is the discussion about cities in what, I don't like the term, but the global south. The fact that there is about two-thirds of the world's population, I don't like the term global south because it's very differentiated across this global south. So if you're in Latin America, you've already got rapid urbanization. The majority of people are living in urban areas. Africa, you've got ongoing urbanization, and in South and Southeast Asia. So the point I'm making is we need grainy bottom-up studies. So that's what I'm going to do to explain the case. The arguments I'm going to use are around the importance of technology. I certainly am a technophile. I think it can be used. But technology as driven by communities. And the framing for this is an ongoing project called Smart Villages, where the argument we're making is as people move from rural to urban areas, providing them skill sets, particularly in that global south, where employment is already low and young people are finishing the educational cycle, but McKinsey's recent report says only 10% of that rural youth is employable. So the skill sets they have are not adequate. So if a young person is employed in a middle-income or low-income country, it's because they're trainable, not because they already have a skill set. So here's the first. I mean, we know this for a fact. My study is located in India, but if you look at Bangladesh, it's even more rapid. This is the situation. It's an old slide. Most of you know this. But what is interesting is that in Asia and Africa, a majority of these people are transitioning now. Though we say 50% of the world is urban, a lot of the young people, that demography, is moving out of rural into urban. And it's that skill set. And so last year's World Development Report of the World Bank, very appropriately, was on the global digital divide. I agree with Carlos' presentation where he said, you know, you'll start with inequality and then it will fall. That's what we like to think as economists. There should be an information technology Kuznets curve. So after time, it falls. The question is, will it happen? And if we look, and my study is at youth, and by youth, young adults, we're talking of 18 to 25-year-olds, maybe even 35-year-olds, because very clearly from this map, you can see the median population is rather low. So in India, it's 27. In some African countries, it is, sorry, I'm going ahead of the slides. In some African countries, it's even lower. So if you look at median populations, they're very low in the world. And consequently, it's working with this age group that we're looking at. What are young people doing with mobile phones? And if you wanted a new world, a world of 2050, where they were employed and included and healthy, what can we learn today that would get us there? And so the case of India was an interesting one. This is research which was funded by the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, now BIES. And what we were doing was working with partners. On my first slide, I had an interdisciplinary team. So I'm a development economist. I was working with network theorists and engineers and business school colleagues between India and the UK. And what we were interested in was how do we make more of the internet? How do we not physical accessibility, not having a mobile phone, but using the internet as a content feature? And so you can look at the fact that in India, a lot of people use phones. But what do they do with those phones? Do they simply download music, as we think young people do, or are they doing something else? And we were very fortunate that when we started our project, in 2015, Portaland, which is an app which the University of Pisa has created, which is really interesting because, well, most people think the iPhone is invasive because it can track your phone. But what Portaland does, if you put it on your app and it's public domain, is it tracks your SIM. So if you have two SIMs or even four SIMs, it will track in real time as your phone call is made, the SP, the IXP, the satellite, and the comeback, and in real time, it will put that on a GPS tracker. And it colors it, you know, it colors it from pink to green. Is it 25% to 100% of its purported strength? So you can imagine, in 2015, as you can see, India wasn't on their map. So they were very interested, the University of Pisa, we will provide you the app, we will give you the back-end data anonymized, if you can tell us how people are using phones, and we can track the network, the topography. So we used that to create an experiment. Two parts. Our interest in the project was, what are young people doing, and what does it look like in terms of the topography of the network? So part A was using Portalan to map the GIS. And I'm showing you data from one site, which is the state of Tamil Nadu. The team that we used were young adults themselves, people who came from rural backgrounds but had university education, so a graduate population. And we were able to generate this kind of data. We had 8 SIMs from 8 different companies and a whole bunch of phones. And by the end of the project, people thought I was a mobile phone dealer, so I had to convince them I wasn't. But what was interesting is this data maps in real time. So we're traveling out of the city of Madras, Chennai, and you can hopefully see the pinks and the yellows, which is showing you the strength. And this is, as you're going, the phone is giving you a 30-second record of the strength as you go along. Now, why is this interesting? Because it can literally tell you, in one point we step off to have coffee, it's telling you I'm stepping out. And we were watching what young people were doing with phones, changing SIMs, at the same time as this data was recording it. And we found that young people from rural areas seem to understand what's happening with phones. But what was really interesting from the point of view of network theory is two companies, Airtel and Vodafone, which are the two biggest providers in this regional location, the map is very different of the type of connectivity. But the costing package they have is the same. So we went back to the providers and we said, why do Airtel and Vodafone have, do you know that your mapping is different? And he said, oh, we're not bothered, because these are only fixed phones. You know, they're fixed payment. We're not bothered about this group. And we showed them the data, and they said, oh, we didn't know that people use phones differently in different areas. Now, I'm a development economist. My network theorist colleagues are absolutely thrilled, and they're writing a paper about the whole nature of this topography. And this is one of, I think, 1,620 photographs that they've generated on this. Why is this important? Because upstream data needs to be linked to what young people are doing. So I created an innovative survey. I say innovative because no one's done it. But what we wanted to know is, what are young people doing? So while we were collecting this upstream data, we were also going into young people's houses and interviewing them. The location of study in 2 states, but I'm showing you one. Just comparing the two. So we had a small self-selected group of people crowdsourced to do this. And this is all people in the age group 18 to 35. And these two states are interesting because they're called the Green Revolution states in India. They have high productivity. But look at the difference. Look at the people who call themselves farmers. Now, these are rural youth studying in urban areas. Nobody in the state of Tamil Nadu calls themselves a farmer. It's zero. In the case of Punjab, it's 24. Now, this is not true that they're not farmers, but they don't see themselves as farmers. So here's an interesting data point. What do they foresee themselves as? What are their aspirations? And we asked them, what do you do with the phone? And so everyone said, if Wi-Fi was there, we'd use it. Now, the phones say they're 4G, only 2G is available. They're not able to use Wi-Fi, but where they're able to use it, look at the activities they're doing. The activities that they're doing in terms of Wi-Fi are not just entertainment, that's very important, but education. 65% are trying to find courses. They know they're not employable, but they don't have the courses, you know, the things to do. Could they be a solar engineer, or could they be a plumber? What can they do? And we also asked them, what do you do? You know, what apps are you on? And if you look at the apps, look at WhatsApp. India is WhatsApped out. You know, my entire research team was sending me data on WhatsApp. And I was saying, it's not secure. Oh, but it's really good. So we were in a completely WhatsApp world by the end of it. I'm going to wrap up now. Why is this important? Because this small but rich study tells us that the mobile phone is potentially a bottom-up instrument. We just need to think much more through the social network of what young people are using for what, particularly as we move from the idea of a smart city where we're already at to saying, what is a smart village? What are going to be the institutional interventions that give people these skills? And so I end with the argument that while smart cities is a concept we've had around, it's based on Internet of Things and smart grids, the idea of the human shift, particularly of the youth generation from rural to urban, means that we have to think about this information shift with the skills and the employment that needs to go alongside. Thank you very much.